that Jesus was God, with God in the beginning. He was God's activator in creation, that nothing was created in all the things that we see. Nothing was created outside of Jesus. And that Jesus, God, became flesh. Now, you will, when you meet with people, you will typically run into people who have difficulty with one of these things. Some people will have a difficulty that Jesus is divine, that he's fully God. They'll believe he's a man, he was maybe a good teacher, but to say that some human being was God, that's just hard to get your mind around, wouldn't it be? It is for me. It is for me. So some people have a difficulty understanding Jesus as God. But a second trouble happens, and it happens sometimes within the church. There are some people who have a difficult time seeing Jesus as human. They don't have a trouble seeing him as God because he did some miracles. He did all kinds of things. We attribute that he died on the cross. He was able to provide forgiveness for the sins of everyone in the world, so that by believing in Jesus, turning from our sins, being born again, that we could be able to experience new life because God's Son gave his life on the cross for us. Well, actually, some people believe that he's God, but kind of believe that he's a superhuman, that he really wasn't human like you and me, that he didn't really go through the same things you and I go through, that he maybe had an extra ounce of help because he was God, you know. And Jesus could do that because he was God. Today, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in John's Gospel. There's two places in John's Gospel where Jesus has a tremendously remarkable impact on people around him, but he doesn't use a miracle. In chapter 4, we're going to see Jesus encounter a person, reveal himself as fully human, fully God, but he doesn't do a miracle. So that happens here in chapter 4, and it's going to happen again in chapter 19, where Jesus dies and provides atonement for us, and God doesn't do a miracle in that place, but that is the most powerful element of our salvation. So here's the reality I want you to know. Jesus is both completely divine and completely human. If you have a bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, there's a verse listed there from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Let me read that for you. Since the children, meaning speaking about us as children of God, all the people on earth, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, Jesus, too, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power over death, that is the devil. Now Jesus is going to be described here by the Hebrew writer as a person who is very human, that when he became, though he was God and he's the exact representation of God from Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus actually became human just like us. So I want to push on some things for you. I want to ask you, do you think Jesus was tempted by the same things you get tempted by? Do you think it was hard for him to resist temptation? Do you think Jesus ever had to wrestle with selfishness? That he had to put to death his desire to do what he wanted, and he had to surrender to his Father's plan for what the Father wanted? Now, we know Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I think that Garden of Gethsemane moment had happened multiple times throughout Jesus' life, where Jesus had learned he had to surrender himself, die to himself, and follow his Father. Jesus even said one place, he said, I don't even trust myself. I don't do what I think, I only do what the Father says. And whatever I see the Father do, that's what I'm going to do. I want you to understand that Jesus completely understands whatever you are in right now. I don't know if there was a virus that ever hit Bethlehem or Nazareth when Jesus was growing up. But I bet Jesus and his mom and dad and his family had to isolate themselves from other people that were sick. Jesus might even got the virus at some point. He didn't have God's protection to never get some of our infirmities. He probably got sick sometimes. He may have had the virus epidemic that went through the area there. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, it was real temptation. Even though he's God, he's fully human, and those human elements made those temptations hard for him. Now, when we come through this passage of Scripture, I want you to gain some hope from this reality that the Jesus you serve is fully God, but he fully understands exactly what's going on in your life right now. And if you would just trust and follow him, he will show you how to live a life that's fully pleasing to God. He'll show you how to win the battle against self and peer pressure. So let's pray real quick, and then we're going to look at the passage. Father God, I ask that you would open up our eyes. Give us eyes to be able to see. Give us ears that are able to hear what you want to say to us. For each person in this room, God, for each person at home watching, you want to let your word become alive. And some element of this, your Holy Spirit is going to spark our attention and apply it into a situation that's going on in our life. So God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you let your word become alive? We are hungry. We are your servants. We're eager to listen and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 4. Jesus had learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more into Galilee. Now, I want you to notice some things here. Jesus is revealing, and John is revealing, some of the human aspects about Jesus, the Son of God. Number one, I want you to know Jesus had agitators. I don't know if you have anybody like that at work. Do you have anybody who just constantly is kind of trying to cause you to have problems? Or they're criticizing you for some element? They're just always kind of agitating things around. Jesus had that. They were the Pharisees. They were always watching for something that he was going to do wrong. Jesus had a cousin, John the Baptist, and the Pharisees have started to notice that Jesus is having more influence than John the Baptist. So number one, the Pharisees' radar has gone up. They're considering Jesus as a threat. John the Baptist, very possibly, and some of his disciples may be frustrated that Jesus is kind of overtaking John's ministry. So there's this element of competition. And hey, John's church isn't the big church anymore. Jesus' church is baptizing more people. Wow, I wonder how John feels about this. So the competition and comparing is happening. Jesus is experiencing that. Jesus has some of his own disciples that he's trying to plug into ministry. John records that Jesus wasn't actually doing a lot of the baptisms. Jesus was passing it on to the disciples. So Jesus was dealing with a team of people trying to help them to get involved in ministry. Jesus understands trying to work together with teams. Verse 3, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So in this situation, it's interesting. Jesus, as the Son of God, doesn't fix everything in Judea. Jesus actually has to change his plans and has to go back up into Galilee till things kind of calm down again in Judea. Verse 4 says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground of Jacob, that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Okay, I want you to see another aspect of Jesus' humanity here. Verse 4 says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, if you're a Christian and you've been in church very long, you know that typically Jews, when they went from Judea, Jerusalem, back up to Galilee, they didn't travel through Samaria. Jews felt really good about themselves. They disliked any Gentile, and they hated Samaritans, who were kind of the half-breeds. So most often, Jews would not go the shortest route through Samaria up to Galilee. But Jesus, we don't know what, but Jesus felt an obligation. John says, by the Holy Spirit, John says Jesus had to go through Samaria. So let me just apply that to where we're at now. Have you had some new expectations placed on you? Some churches aren't able to have church today. They had to have church at their home. Some of you weren't able to find toilet paper or cleaning supplies at Walmart this week, and you had to go to, I don't know, did you find any place else that had them? Because spread the word, somebody else is going to go there. Jesus, something had happened in his life. We're not sure if it's an obligation of a time schedule that he has to get up there to Galilee for, and he takes the shorter route, or if there was something the Holy Spirit was saying, no, I want you to go this way. I've got a purpose for you if you're going to go this way. But somehow Jesus, as a human and as the Son of God, felt obligation and had something that was impressed on him that he had to do. He didn't just, as the Son of God, free from all obligations because he could adjust schedules and he could adjust when people would meet him. Jesus didn't use God powers for that. Jesus felt this obligation. And here's in verse 6, there's another element of Jesus' humanity. Jesus got tired. So he's walking through Samaria and it's noon and Jesus is tired. The word that's used here for weary or tired is kind of a word that also talks about how you feel after you've been beat up. It's like you are just completely wiped out. You may feel emotionally or physically beat up. Jesus felt exhausted. Have you ever felt that way midway through a day? And you're just halfway going through the day, but you, your spirit, your mind, your physical body is just weary. And Jesus sits down. because that's what you do when you're exhausted. Now, I don't know if you've ever been that way before, but you have. And I want you to know Jesus, our Savior, experiences that kind of exhaustion just like you do. He is human in every way just like us. It wasn't easier for him to take the journey to walk 35 miles through countryside. That wasn't easier for him than it is for you. It wasn't easier for him to deal with some of the prejudices that people had around him. It wasn't easier for him to deal with people who were opposing him and causing trouble for him. It's just like it is for you. Yet Jesus, in every one of those situations, chose to listen to his Father and try to do what his Father wanted. So let's keep reading. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Okay, I want to just stop there for a moment here. Jesus, just like you, had human encounters with people. Now, our mission as a church is to share the hope of Jesus with the world one person at a time, one conversation at a time, one moment an opportunity at a time. And those moments come by connections that you didn't plan, but God kind of orchestrates. And Jesus is sitting down at the well while his disciples have gone into town to get food, and a woman comes out. It's not the normal time for coming. It's the, in the heat of the day, most people would have gone for water earlier in the day. And she might have come out earlier. We don't know. She may have just come out now because she didn't want to be around a lot of people. And Jesus encounters a woman who's a Samaritan. So a number of things are happening here. Typically, a man wouldn't address a woman that wasn't his wife in public. And a Jew would not talk to a Samaritan, let alone ask that Samaritan, can you help me? I need a drink. I'm thirsty. Now, the Samaritan woman recognizes this is weird. Why is this happening? So let's compare it a little bit to a situation now. Back years ago, people who were neighbors, if they were baking something or making cookies and you ran short of sugar, what did you do? You'd go next door, wouldn't you? You'd ask somebody, could you share with me? You may be one of the people who got to the store and bought out all the toilet paper or all the cleaning supplies. You may, and I'm going to have to come to your house someday and say, hey, can I borrow some toilet paper? I'll give it back when I'm done. No, I won't do that. This week, you saw it in the stores, people have started to hoard things because of this virus. Now, some of you may be the ones who have it in your possession. Others of you may be ones who don't have it in your possession. And so two ways that God might use you to be able to have at least a light of Jesus encounter with somebody is that you would be able to share with somebody who doesn't have without charging them extra money for it. No black market pricing for this. So it may be God's going to let you run short of something. You're not going to have oil for cooking something, and you'll have to go to a neighbor and ask if they have oil. And all I want to say is in each one of those encounters, there's an opportunity for you to demonstrate, hey, I don't have everything all together, or I do have resources. I'm glad to share them with you, and it's not a problem if you don't have everything all together. Jesus is addressing a need that he has, thirst, and she has the supply. She has a bucket to be able to bring the water up from the well. One of the best ways for you to build a relationship with somebody is to admit a need. Sometimes that's hard for me to do because I want to be self-sufficient and I hate asking somebody to do something for me. I don't know why, you may not be like that. You may think I'm weird, but I feel awkward asking somebody for help. I'd rather do it myself than feel like I'm imposing on someone else. And yet there's times when Jesus in his humanity sets an example for us to say, hey, I need something. Could you help me with this? And it may even be an awkward situation. The person you're asking may be somebody who you haven't had a relationship with in the past. And I want you to know, Jesus could have probably in his deity caused the spring of water to well up and could have created a bucket for him to be able to get the water himself. But Jesus lived his life so human so that he had to be dependent on other people around him. And it may very well be that the thing that you're dependent for, that you don't have, that your neighbor has, creates an opportunity for you to be able to build a relationship with them. Because they picked up something at Walmart that you were too late to get. But I want you to see what Jesus does with this human need. Jesus says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, so Jesus starts, John does this all the time. He starts using a word picture. And Jesus has been talking about, I'm thirsty, I need water. And Jesus now starts to say, you know what? There's something more important than physical water. And Jesus is actually talking about the renewal of life that God does through his Holy Spirit in our lives. He's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes into us, he creates a well of water that continually gives us life, no matter what the outside circumstances are. Now, two things I want to say here. Number one, are you drinking from that well? Or are you drinking from the physical well and saying, man alive, I just don't have enough. I don't know what we're going to do. If they shut down everything, what are we going to do in 3 weeks? Are you drinking from the well of living water? Because it will well up to you, for real life. And if you're drinking from that well, I just want you to know, when you go and ask your neighbor, I need oil, or I need sugar, I need flour, or I'm out of Clorox wipes, or whatever it might be. Your temperament when you go to that and have that conversation is going to be filled with the peace of the Holy Spirit. You're not frantic. You're not scared. You're just admitting a need. And that well of living water is going to cause them to say, you don't seem like you're panicking about this. Why isn't this bothering you? And you get to share a little bit about what it's like to drink from the well of living water, to have hope in Jesus when times are hard, and to know that no matter what happens, you have confidence that God's going to work all things together for good, that God hears and answers prayer, that your peace that passes understanding. I have an uncle that says, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't get it, but I've got it. I've got this peace that passes understanding. So the first thing I want to ask, are you drinking from that well? Because it's a life, it's a well that will satisfy you deeply in times like this. And Jesus says, you could ask for that. If you're not drinking from it, you can ask for that. Because Jesus can give you that living water. Here's the second thing I want to ask you, is if you're drinking from it, are you sharing it? Are you sharing it with anybody? Now, I'm going to stop here just to kind of wrap up the sermon. I'd like you to read the rest of it through this week if you're reading through the Gospel of John together in our 15:6 series on this, his story. When you get to chapter 4, you'll be able to read through the whole story and see how this woman actually asked Jesus, give me that water. Give me that water so I won't ever be thirsty again. And Jesus introduces himself as the Messiah. And you see her go from Jesus as a Jew and a man who shouldn't be talking to a Samaritan woman. And then she says, well, you must be a prophet then. And she started asking prophet questions. And then Jesus says, I'm the Messiah. And she's kind of confused about that, but she actually goes back into her town and starts telling people this incredible story. Come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. I wouldn't probably want every one of you to see everything that I've ever done. But she had started drinking from a well of living water that was full of grace, full of forgiveness, full of incredible love that you were created to be able to taste and live with. And this woman who's had 5 husbands already, and the person she's living with right now is not her husband, was able to have Jesus engage her in that kind of a conversation. And yet when she's drinking from the well of living water, it doesn't matter what she's done because she's experiencing such incredible grace and peace because the well of living water is filling her up. And I just want you to know that's what Jesus can do for you. Jesus is very human, and he completely understands what your life is going through right now. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's worry that I'm not going to have enough resources. I just want you to know, we as a body of believers are going to take care of each other. We're going to help each other through this process. But we're not just going to do that for each other. We're going to do that for other people outside of us. We're going to be demonstrating the peace of Jesus to people that we meet. And it's going to be people in your neighborhood. It'll be people in your workplace. It'll be people in your family that you and I as the church of God get to start introducing people to come and see this Messiah who can give you this living water. I want you to understand, Jesus experienced all the things that you're currently experiencing, that what you're going through right now, fears, anxieties. Jesus knows exactly what that feels like. And so when you pray, I want you to talk to him as if he knows exactly. I have one last verse of scripture I want you to look at, again in Hebrews chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? And then I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up at this point. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Again, speaking about Jesus and him being God but coming to be fully human. Verse 17 says, "For this reason, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted." Today, I just want to say, before we end this service, I have no idea what next week will be like. If they get another community shared virus spreading, we'll be limited to 25 to 50 people in gatherings. And we might not be able to have this service. We'll do it online as well, so you can participate. But I just want you to know, whatever happens, God's mission won't be stopped. Whatever ways you and I are bound or restricted, God's word is not restricted. And whatever ways you feel oppressed or challenged, I want you to know that you have Jesus, who is a faithful high priest. He's able to, would you say it, help? Would you say that? Jesus is able to help. Jesus is able to help us in our times of need. And maybe today, it's anxiety, it's fear. And today you just need to know Jesus is a Savior who can come and give you living water to resolve that fear. And your hope and help can be in him. Today it might be that you haven't been drinking from that spring of living water and you need to surrender. You need to come for the very first time and say, "I want Jesus. I need that in my life. I've heard about Jesus. It's not enough just to know about him. It's more to know him and invite him into your life and let him be Lord." And scripture says when you repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and you're buried with him in the waters of baptism, he does something. He makes you brand new. He fills you with his Holy Spirit and he gives you life and power. Today I just want to say, if you're a believer and you haven't been drinking from the well of living water, I'm going to say, stop looking to satisfy your needs in something that will never satisfy. Stuff here on earth that's distracted you. Would you just come and say, "Jesus, I believe you've got the living water." And would you, like the woman at the well, would you say, "Jesus, give that water to me. I need that water." And then last of all, there's somebody around you, because our city is just full of people that are worried, anxious, nervous about getting the disease, or catching the virus, or maybe they got family members that already have the virus. And today I just want to ask you, would you ask God to so fill you up with living water that it starts to come out and bless and flow from you to other people, that people could taste and see that God is good? I'm going to take a time of prayer. We're just going to pray. If you would like somebody to pray for you, if you have a need in your life and you'd like someone to pray for you, there'd be somebody in the back, or there'll be elders up front as well to be able to pray with you. And I'm going to ask for them to come forward now. If you have a decision for Christ, I encourage you to come and make that decision. We'd be glad to help you with that. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to pray first, and we'll sing that song. Jesus, I pray that there would be moments like this moment at the well, where somebody who has living water meets somebody who needs living water. And that this week, this season of a coronavirus really disrupting our schedules of how we've done things, that we would start to learn a new way to help make disciples, to share the hope of Jesus with people who don't know that hope. So God, I just pray, would you fill each member here, each person here that's hungry and ready for Jesus to give them living water. I pray that you'd fill us up so that we could live with peace and confidence and joy in the midst of the hardships and challenges that we face as humans. Father, you may not spare us from viruses or cold or flu, but we know that you can still give us living water in the midst of that. And Father, if we are able to stay free from that virus, then Father, we pray that the living water be so full of us that we could flow and bless other people. So God, I pray over this city, and I pray over believers in Jesus Christ to be so filled with your Spirit that we would spread your love to other people. And God, if you allow for us to take these moments, I pray that every day you'd give us a moment to be able to share living water with somebody else. We could introduce them to Jesus. And Father, I pray that they could drink deep of the grace and salvation that the blood of Jesus has purchased for us on Calvary. And then, Father, I just pray that you would multiply your glory in the midst of this season of darkness. Now, Son of God, Son of Man, we bow down and worship you, and we surrender our hearts to you just to say, we need you. We need you. Our city needs you. Our neighbors need you. So, Father, fill us up with Jesus so we can help lead other people to know him as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come if you have a decision to make. Let's see.